Hi everyone, thank you for tuning into From the Fryer. I'm Ellie.
Hey everyone, this is Leon. Thank you for tuning in.
We are so sorry there was no recap or live tweeting last week. Someone had to be hospitalized and ended up having an emergency appendectomy. So it was a crazy weekend, missed the show, couldn't podcast.
Yeah, I ended up going into the ER last weekend, Saturday. After what felt like many hours, they let me know that my appendix has to be taken out. So that was a huge surprise to me.
So crazy. So out of nowhere. I remember you saying, I think I drank too much coffee today. I don't feel good.
So I got a large coffee. Usually, you know, this is me just, you know, thinking of theories. Usually I get like a medium. This time I got a large coffee. And we went to go watch a baseball game. And well, I finished the coffee and then... As we're leaving, I thought, yeah, my stomach kind of hurts. It's probably just the coffee. I'm not used to drinking this much in one sitting. And slowly throughout the day, it sort of just got just a little worse and a little worse. If you guys haven't been in the ER, that's awesome. You know, hopefully you've been very healthy. But ER visits are not fun. They take a lot of time. The people working there for sure are hustling and busting their ass to help people. But it's just a long, long process. And there's folks probably dealing with a lot more critical things than I was. So my visit took a long time. I think we arrived at about 8 p.m. on Saturday, and I was in surgery at about 2 p.m. the next day. In that time, the pain kind of just got worse and worse. But I'm pretty good now. I'm recovering just fine, feeling better. So yeah, all in all, thank you to the people that took care of me.
I remember your sadness when you just lifted up your shirt and you're like, they shaved my belly.
Yeah, I've had knee surgeries before, and they shave theory when you were going to have surgery. It didn't even cross my mind before the surgery because I watched, I'm like, what is the surgery? What's entailed? You go to YouTube, what does the surgery look like? I remember one of the top comments in the videos I was watching, having this surgery in a couple hours, and I was in the exact same boat. Didn't even think about that they'd have to shave the area where they need to make the incision points.
Well, we're glad you're better. All right, should we talk about the episode?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, so the first couple up, this is season 6, episode 5, Love Takes Hostages. We'll start with Angela and Michael. It's kind of a continuation of the last episode, trying to wake her up, finally getting her up. JoJo can finally see her. She's in a lot of pain. There is some concerns with the amount of breast tissue they ended up taking out and how Michael will react to this.
She didn't want to talk to Michael.
No, she did not want to talk to him for, like, it almost seemed like days, like 2 days.
So the female breasts, right? It's a very special area in one's body. She must have felt a huge deal of, like, loss and sort of, I'm changed now.
I feel bad for her. I think her identity is based around her breasts, and especially her relationship with Michael, where that was a huge concern even before the surgery, is how much would she lose? What would her body look like after even just the weight loss, not even talking about the breast reduction? And so I think not only is it feel like a part of her is gone and her identity, I think revealing that to Michael, who can't be there with her, is a whole nother layer added. I think that a conversation should have been had prior to going under the knife. The surgeon should have probably talked to her about a situation that may came up where they need to take more breasts, whatever that reason may be. He says it's for her health and it's for a better result, but I almost feel like that should have been discussed because they took double what they said they would from each breast.
Part of me feels like the doctor most likely said we may need to take more, but in her mind it was never double what you said.
Yeah. And of course they didn't show that part. Maybe they had that conversation, but
I was surprised. The doctor said she was still a double D, and Angela thought that was, like, extremely small or something.
I mean, granted, she is wrapped up pretty tightly, so when she looks down, it is going to look a lot different. So I'm hoping that when she's fully done healing, she'll be more comfortable, but it does suck to come out of surgery.
Her size makes it seem like they're not that big.
Yeah, maybe.
And when she slims down, it would sort of show her volume more.
But the thing with weight loss is your breasts go quick. So that's going to be a crappy part as well. Gotcha. How much smaller are they going to get during the weight loss? journey. And then also I was confused at this point. So they did the breast reduction, and part of their selling point was like, they're going to be perkier, they're going to be higher and nicer. Okay, but when you lose weight, what's going to happen to them at that point? Are you going to have to get another lift later down the line?
There's probably a part two for her procedures. I mean, for example, she's going to have, like, most likely loose skin.
Yeah, yeah.
So she'll... She's going
to... But then, most likely have in my head, that makes sense to do the breast surgery at that time, not before. I'm not a doctor. Who knows?
Right. Maybe it's easier for them once you've lost the weight to sort of gauge how to place everything.
Exactly. So that's why doing it before doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Oh, I see.
But again, maybe that's just what they do. Maybe they were just so bothersome because she was saying, you know, I'm having a hard time breathing. I think that's due to the smoking. But, I mean, maybe they just do want to give her kind of a head start on recovery and health. And just if she needs, decides to work out, it'll be easier now that she has smaller breasts.
When she called Michael, she was sort of he wasn't happy about it.
I was bummed by his reaction.
But then we sort of mentioned it helps her breathing, and she's trying to, like, talk to him about that. Of why they reduce so much. And all I can always think about is cigarette smoking affects your breathing as well.
I tie a lot back to her unhealthy lifestyle. So how do you feel about Michael's reaction? His seemingly disapproval almost. He didn't outright, I don't think he said anything bad, but he did seem concerned.
I think it's pretty selfish.
Yeah.
In the overall scope of things, the individual you marry, that's them. What is the big deal about them going from whatever size?
Do you think he only married her for her large breasts?
No.
I don't think so either. But that was kind of brought up by Angela. Oh, did you just marry me because of my boobs? I don't think so.
They've been together for a long
time. It's been a long time now. Yeah. And so I don't think it's that. I think he definitely enjoys large boobs, but I don't think that's the only reason. Oh, she has to be 2 weeks on a liquid diet. She could not do the liquid diet prior to surgery. How do you feel she will do? Yeah. How do you feel she will do for 2 weeks liquids only?
And that's due to the stomach surgery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be pretty tough.
I think it's going to be super tough because they showed her taking a sip of some drink. I'm assuming it's like a smoothie or something.
Yeah,
and she just did not like it.
I don't know, protein shakes or whatever else you can eat. It's going to be pretty tough, I think, for her.
I think the mental aspect is super hard. I think her stomach having that surgery done on your stomach, I feel like that's obviously going to very much so restrict the amount she can even consume of liquids. So I think she'll be fine as far as feeling full and things like that. But I think the mental is what's really going to get her. Like, she talked about loving steak and things like that. And you're just not going to have a large steak. You're not going to really have anything for a while.
Because, you know, she's going through some pain.
Oh, yeah. It looked very painful immediately.
Maybe that pain would kind of dissuade you from, I want a huge steak.
Yeah, you got to digest that.
I cannot contain a big steak right now. You need to calm down. So maybe that those feelings are kind of make you have maybe less of an appetite. Yeah. Possibly.
Man, we'll see. I wonder how long she has to stay in LA and have Jody take care of her before she can go home.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, because she went to the doctor essentially the next day, the next morning.
I think.
I'm not sure how often you need to check in with your doctors after these surgeries.
Yeah, and when can you fly? I don't know. On the next time on, we see her already smoking again. She's still in LA at that time, so not much time has passed. When questioned about her smoking, she says, I only smoke when I'm anxious or nervous.
But that could be always.
That could be. It's a very anxious time in the world. I mean, yeah. I just really wish she would stop smoking. I'm super. So we know she lost a bunch of weight. She looks great. We've seen her do interviews and things like that. So we know she has lost a bunch of weight, but I'm super curious to see if she has stopped smoking now versus when she had the surgery.
Now, either slowed down or completely stopped.
There's not tell-alls for Happily Ever After, is there?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know why I'm spacing on that, but that would be a good question for Sean to ask. I hope they let her ask that. That's kind of it for Angela and Michael. Again, I just find it so pointless for them to be on Happily Ever After versus, like, a weight loss special because they're not together. There's no Happily Ever After. We almost never see Michael. We see him for 2 minutes each episode. Just give Angela a weight loss special and then have a different couple.
I would agree.
Again, it's just a continuation of last season. Like, all the couples are the same. They threw in a couple others. I just wish it was done a little bit differently. Because I feel like I'm just so over the same issues. So that's my little rant. Okay, we move on to Andre and Libby. We are still on day one of his first day of work. He's coming home in a huff to tell Libby how horrible her family is. Libby is struggling.
Was so fake.
Yeah, it was. their storyline specifically seems super manufactured. It's just annoying. Libby seems super frazzled to be a stay-at-home working mother, work from home, stay home mother. I don't know what the term is, but working from home while taking care of the baby. She already wants to hire a nanny. Which doesn't make any sense to me. What is the point of Andre having to work just so you guys can get a nanny?
Essentially, Andre is just talking to Olivia how her family sucks and they're not meeting eye to eye.
I love how he's like, Becky called me a dick. No one talks to my husband like that. Yeah, even my sister. Okay.
The family's interactions, it's like no one's ever...
For
their own sake of their argument.
No one's ever wrong. Everyone's just taking advantage of Chuck. Now I just feel bad for Chuck, because he's in the middle of everything always.
So now that we got more information on the family, and you know, they flip homes, Becky...
Listing agent, name. Yeah.
She's like a listing agent. It seems like Charlie's maybe an inspector, that sort
or
of...
Or he's like a...
He might be like a general contractor.
I feel like he more takes care of... Because in the next time on, we see Andre doing demo, and then Charlie was mad at him for doing that. So it was like... I think he does something with either hiring the people that do demos and like, fixing, or like he's definitely not the one doing the demos.
So the family essentially does the whole, you know, A to Z, find home, remodel home, list home.
They all have their own little section.
They maintain the profit of that entire process within their family, which could be kind of shady because in purchasing a home, usually if you're working with a real estate agent, you have to hire a home inspector. They highly recommend you find a third party home inspector, like someone that has no connection to your real estate agent, because I can see a situation where they could essentially pass a home that may not have passed from an agent that doesn't work, or I'm sorry, essentially if they don't have a working relationship, the inspector and the real estate agent, they could essentially pass a home, which would not be good. But since this family sort of controls that whole process, I feel like that could be a little shady. I'm not saying they do shady practices.
They do shady practices. That's already been confirmed. They're awful people.
Oh, gotcha. Well,
I know you kind of watch the show at face value, while I frequent the Reddit board and I look at Twitter. And...
Well, if you're buying a home, then get yourself a third party home inspector.
Pro tip. So we're kind of jumping all over the place, but he comes home. He tells Libby how his day went. Libby has his back 100%.
Sure.
100% has his back, but I'm super curious about how that will look when she confronts Becky and her dad and Charlie. Generally, she just flip-flops, and she doesn't really stick up for Andre too much. If Libby and her family are looking for a man to kind of have that traditional man role within their family, I just don't see the point of that if they're...
Is it more of a Andre eventually gets to that point, and then sort of she takes a step back?
Well, she made it very clear she's not quitting her job.
Yeah, that's true. She did mention. I have no idea what their plan is, honestly.
I just feel like they want him to work because he is the man and the head of the household. But I think when you're looking at the overall picture of it, I don't see the point.
Hiring a nanny has got to be...
It's so expensive.
Super, yeah, super expensive.
I was talking to a friend this weekend, and they said that their monthly childcare bill is more than their mortgage.
And that's just like daycare, right?
Yeah.
That's not a nanny.
No, that's not... The person is not coming to their house. It's not only them. It's them taking them somewhere.
He would basically have to make so much money to just cover that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, provide a profit to bring home to his family or whatever.
And I don't know what the solution is. I mean, I think a lot of adults do want to work, and staying home is really hard. Taking care of kids is super hard.
But Andre hasn't worked forever.
No, he hasn't worked in the U.S. at all. In any season that we watched.
It's almost like your daughter or your wife has a job she's not going to get fired from.
Yes.
And you haven't worked. Did the show tellers tell you to go find a job so you have some kind of storyline? Because
that's part of it.
There's no, unless you just feel like working, like if that was the case, you just
go find work.
Yeah, or go, a part-time.
Go do something you're interested in.
But that's the thing, is Andre also thinks he's, like, too good for everything. So that's another part.
If we saw Andre doing some, I don't know, some random job, it probably doesn't make it television, like, work with Chuck and have all these disagreements with Charlie.
The whole storyline is just a continuation of the last season they were on, and it just, I'm not very interested in it.
I was interested in the immigration piece, though.
Yes, so they went to the immigration lawyer to get the 10-year green card, the extension. She was going over the amount of paperwork that they would need, and honestly, kind of some bogus stuff about DNA testing. And I just don't buy it being as intense as she's saying it is. I understand you need to provide a lot of documentation. You have to prove that this is a legitimate relationship. You live together, you have split bills, you share accounts. That's fine and everything, but I think going as far as saying you need an employment history, that's going to be a red flag, that's for sure bullshit, because the whole K-1 process includes not only vetting of the past, so it's not like anything new would come up at all, but another part of that is you have to take financial responsibility for a minimum of 10 years for these individuals to come over. So why would not having a job affect that at all? When you already claimed responsibility for them. It doesn't make any sense. Again, I think this is probably a real lawyer, but for the show, they probably just made it a little more dramatic.
Those are the two of the more interesting points. One is Andre, he's almost like naive from his past. The lawyer's trying to talk to him and saying,
oh, I think he killed someone. He talked about burying his past. It's taken care of. It's fine.
I think if you have some kind of record in your country, most likely yes to that. I'm not sure how deep in investigations go in a K-1 process, but yeah, if you have some kind of record, you really shouldn't be lying about that because they're just going to get the records and find out.
But they would have already done that. That's why I'm not even concerned.
That's true. So that could have been a little bit of TV-esque kind of questioning.
I mean, they not only already completed the K-1 process, they've been together for so long, it is not an issue at all to prove they are a real couple. And even on this show, can you just be like, look at all the seasons we've been on. Do you want video evidence of our awful fights in the past? You know, like, it's definitely a real relationship.
The job thing, yeah, that was interesting. The whole, you need to have some kind of employment history. I'd be like, why?
Yeah, there was already there's paperwork signed to say that people are responsible for me and my finances.
Is it wrong for him to say, I'm a stay-at-home dad?
Like, yeah, what do people do?
There's no employment history there. You know, you're a stay-at-home dad, stay-at-home mom.
I mean, we know plenty of people that have married Americans that are stay-at-home moms, and it's not an issue. I don't know. I don't buy that it was intense as it was. Libby's reactions were weird. Those were fake. The mouth agape and
you know how some people talk with their hands?
Yeah.
It's almost like she talks with lip motions.
With, like, mouth reactions. It's always, like, gasping, turning away dramatically. Yeah, I don't know. Oh my god, someone on Reddit talked about their weak chins, like they're a family of weak chins, and that's all I can see now.
Yeah. The towel folding.
Oh, someone mentioned that they have no idea how they put on pillowcases. I just started dying. You need that strong chin to put it on. Tiffany and Ronald. Ugh, I was so upset by this conversation. So we start out with Daniel and Ronald video chatting. Ronald kind of starts off with throwing Tiffany under the bus to Daniel and kind of explaining, like, oh, you guys aren't here because your mom did this.
He's having way too adult of a conversation.
Agree. Not only the topics, but even decisions and future decision-making with Daniel, who is a child, is completely inappropriate.
Well, if you notice, Daniel... Not that he was clapping back, but he was not backing down.
Daniel's good. Oh, such like, a sweetheart.
Like, I'm not moving.
And then he's like, well, I'm going to leave the family. I'll leave
this family. Fuck it.
Daniel is such a sweetheart. He stuck to his guns. Good for him. It just really sucks that Ronald is putting him almost in the middle of him and Tiffany and being like, yeah, ask your mom. No, it's not his responsibility. Don't have a kid ask an adult question to their mother. It sucks.
Yeah, Tiffany comes in and hangs up the call with
him. Yeah, she's like, I need my phone. Goodbye.
They're not doing good.
No, and we find out that Ronald had a relapse of his gambling issue last year. I think he has really shitty friends. I think that if you're an addict and your friend is taking you to places...
Yeah, there comes a point you got to cut those off.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. If he is such a man and so responsible and doing everything for his family, why is he continually surrounding himself with people that are causing relapses, or not necessarily causing, but aiding, influencing your addiction? You shouldn't even be, your friends shouldn't take you to a casino.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be taking the gambling addict to a casino. It's no. Not a good look.
So Daniel made it very clear he will not be moving to South Africa. Ronald attempted to make it clear that if the visa is not approved, that is the only option and it will be happening.
So he doesn't, he didn't adopt Daniel to my knowledge or anything.
Yeah, like I don't think so.
So legally, this dude has no power over this kid. He cannot tell this kid to do anything. Yeah. He cannot make a move. He doesn't have any parental rights. I guess, you know, stepdad. But yeah, there's just no way. They're not. Yeah, she seems to be not only preparing her life for her and her kids, but she's just totally done.
Yeah,
I think he's maybe just made too many errors in the short time they've been together.
Yeah, and it just sucks that like.
Also, I feel for the daughter too.
It sucks that they purposely had a child, because then that adds so much to this already shitty situation.
Crazy. I mean, parents and different.
Because that's kind of what Jehoon and Devin are dealing with. They're dealing with the divorce. And what does that mean for visitation? Or is child support a thing internationally? I have no idea.
Oh, the daughter was born in the States, right?
Yeah, because, when they saw the hospital situation, she was not going to give birth, possibly on the floor, or without a bed, I should say, at the public hospital. And the private hospital was just way too expensive. They didn't have the money for that. So that's why she ended up returning home. It's so sad that this entire relationship, well, maybe not, entire relationship, because it's definitely based on Ronald, I think, decision making, but also this relationship feels so primarily based on the visa. They've made it clear that they are not moving to South Africa, so the only option is for Ronald to move there, and that is all hanging by this visa, which will most likely not get approved because of his past. So this is really not going to work otherwise.
Well, I think both of us were on the side of I was strongly on the side, I think, in previous shows that there's no fucking way this visa's getting approved.
Yeah, I don't see it happening.
It gets denied, she doubles down and lets him know that they're not moving, and then he says, well, you know, fuck you guys.
I think it's something like that, probably.
And she's like...
And that's it, yeah. That's what I think. Let's see. On the next time on, we see Tiffany needs her dad to co-sponsor Ronald, and Tiffany seems that she's been keeping information from her dad about Ronald's past and kind of the current status of the visa. So
probably the gambling addiction or something else.
Yeah, or was he had violent crimes as well, right? Wasn't it a fight or something? And then those charges got dropped, but they're...
Possibly.
I feel like I should give our audience more info than my, I think this happened. But yeah, so she will need her dad to co-sponsor, I assume, for the financial aspect.
Yeah, I wish I did more research on that portion of the process of co-sponsoring. Why do you need co-sponsoring? Do you need to prove
something? I think it's mostly the financial aspect, to be honest, because you have to make a certain amount to say that you can handle being responsible for another person.
Interesting. I wonder what that number is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We should look that up. So that's pretty much it for them. Just kind of the same. Everything's kind of hanging in the balance, so we'll see. This one was interesting. Kalani and Aswelu. And Lo. This had a lot of Lo in it.
No.
So, Kalani's dad, Lo, is back in town. He invites Kalani out for coffee where they discuss the status of the relationship between Kalani and Aswelu. Kalani's mom let Lo know that they're not in a good place, that Kalani is very much so considering divorce. And Lo lets Kalani know that this is not an option to him, because especially because they have two children, that he does not believe in divorce. It's the Samoan way to not be divorced.
Well, if you have children, said if he didn't have the boys, I wouldn't even bat an eye. Yeah, get divorced.
Exactly. And but, so it's interesting. He says the Samoan way, but then he's like, well, if those kids weren't around, divorce this guy. So I quote, divorce is for people who give up. I thought you were stronger than that. That is an insane amount of pressure to put on your daughter, who is already struggling so much mentally and emotionally. And I can't imagine, I mean, no one wants to get divorced, but she's already so far at her wit's end. And then to have the pressure of your father saying, basically, you're a quitter and you're a disappointment, that's not okay.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think that she'll have to put up with maybe more bullshit in the relationship.
Yeah, it seems that no matter what, she should have to deal with it, according to kind of everyone around her. Except her sister. She supports the divorce.
Her mom and her sister, you know, they're definitely on her side, and that's good to have a support system.
And I think they see a lot more than Lo does. They're there every day, and it seems like Lo goes off to work or whatever he does. I do like that Lo did have a conversation with Asuelu as well. So it was kind of brutal with Kalani saying what he did to her. But with Asuelu, it did seem a little bit more productive and asking how things are going. And
well, it seems like he was surprised that they're in such a different...
Yeah.
You know, one of them's leaning way towards divorce and the other one's like...
Oh, I didn't know divorce was like, something she was thinking about. Yeah, so I found that really interesting as well.
Way off guard. He's like, wow, you guys are not in the same page at all.
Yeah, there's a huge disconnect. There's no communication.
But Kalani has said they talked about divorce.
Maybe I slightly just ignored her. I don't know. Now that I know that they only have sex and then otherwise they don't spend time together, not even sleep in the same room, their communication is like non-existent.
Do you think the kids sleep in their room?
They probably sleep with their mom now that the dad isn't. Right. I mean, like, why not?
Well, right? I mean, have they always kind of...
I don't know.
This is my theory.
Yeah, that
he's
they...
I need room in the bed. Like,
maybe. I think it's... Yeah, and if that's the case, that's definitely contributing to kind of everything else and not having any communication and very little intimacy from what I hear. Asuelu mentions that he appreciates Lo speaking to him about this because his own family just puts him down. So I thought that was very sad.
So I got emotional again.
Yeah.
Is using the tears for
comfort? Oh, you're right. We talked about that. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Is his tears manipulation?
He's trying to get a sentimental card from Lo.
Maybe. Because I think Lo does want him to succeed.
Honestly, just seeing him, it seems like maybe when he's having these deep conversations with Lo, it kind of it hits him differently.
I think because they're the same culture.
It's more like a man-to-man.
Yeah.
You know, the whole father-son kind of. Same thing with him applying pressure to Kalani. It's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, hey, this guy that's essentially a father figure in this establishment, you know, yeah. where I am now, is kind of being real with me. Like, I think it hits a little harder.
Yeah. Do you think Lo knows their native language?
I'm sure he does.
You think so? Because I was thinking, why don't they just speak in their native language? I think that would help a lot with... I mean, Asuelu sure. seems to be doing better with English, but I'm just saying it might be more comfortable, it might be...
Sure.
Better, I don't know. Do you think Asuelu can change? Do you think he's already changing? Because Lo says he does believe that Asuelu is changing.
I don't know how much time, because we don't get to see that kind of family time with maybe like Lo and his wife and they're all yeah. hanging out, maybe nighttime, family time. We don't really know how much time they really spend or yeah. can witness him with the family. Asuelu with his family to see how much change, but most likely he is there a lot, obviously, and he does get to see the change.
I do hope so.
I will say, for the most part, us guys are really bad at noticing changes like that, so I don't know how much Asuelu is really changing, but naturally he would do more maturing over time, but
how long are people willing to wait, though?
In a short... Right, and then Kalani kind of referred to that.
Oh, yeah, how it's only been two years.
How long am I supposed to wait?
Yeah.
For this guy to change.
And then Lo was saying, well, it's only been 2 years, but man, how long? How many years, really?
It's so fascinating how every couple's so different. You know, some couples, they're speedy.
All unique
issues. They're speedy and they're quick to, you know, get together, marriage, babies. The whole circle of... relationship, you know, all the steps, and some folks wait a very long time, you know,
yeah,
they go 5 years and they get married.
Yeah.
A couple we'll talk about here in a second, you know, their boyfriend and girlfriend, they've been together for like 5 years. The girl mentions that she's still learning things about him.
Yeah.
For example, Kalani and Asuelu, they're gonna be learning things about each other for years. I mean, they've only been together for 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years in a lifetime is nothing.
I hate to use the term like love language, but they really do have different love languages. I think his is more like doing things or bringing her food. They mentioned this in the last episode. I mean, that's pretty dope. Bring me food. Bring me things. That's cool. I mean, I do think he needs to do more than that, obviously. He needs to help the kids and things like that. But that's definitely not her love language because she kind of was like, well, that's what my brother does. So she didn't care about that at all. As to where I would be like, oh, that's pretty damn nice. Like, I would love you to bring me pizza.
We're giving some of these guys a bad look. For example, what's old boy's name at the forum?
Brandon,
you know, he's always playing Xbox while Julia's talking to him. And Osoyo's got a whole fucking gaming room.
The boys this season
just hangs out
are not stepping up. There's many issues. Okay, we see on the next time on with Kalani and her dad. Something happens with immigration, I'm not entirely sure, but in connection with that, she needs her dad to be his sponsor for life. One, I've never heard of that term. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
I don't know if that was the case. They were just saying that the new terms or the new process isn't a tenure.
It's for life.
Right. And is this like his tenure thing now?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe his, 2 years up. So they're going to go in for the 10-year. And they need Lo to be responsible for him. Because she doesn't work,
she has no job.
So it would have to be him. Mm. Oh, my God, that's brutal. Okay, we'll see how that goes.
Man, finding
Hey, if Lo really wants them to be together, he better sign that paper.
Finding international love is...
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I mean, dating is a lot of work, too, but...
Right.
Be happy and single. Okay, we're moving on to Jovi and Yara. Continuation, again, of kind of what's going on. Yara is a very protective mother, which I think is very normal, making sure the baby is safe and healthy, and especially in Corona times.
It's her first kiddo.
Yeah. So they're going to go out for a date night. Gwen is coming over to watch the baby, and Yara is still very uncomfortable with her leaving the baby with Gwen. Gwen's great. Gwen would not hurt your baby. Right. Gwen also is not appreciated enough at all. Yeah, she brought over outfits for the baby.
She seems like a really good grandma.
Great grandma, great mother-in-law. That's who I would trust with my kids. It's fine, I would trust Gwen. It's really interesting. There was like a tiny glimpse of... Do you remember on the last season they were on that Yara was like, buy me an iPhone? To Jovi, she needed certain materialistic things and purses and whatnot. Mm-hmm. When Gwen brought over the clothes, she's like, oh, Polo, why not Gucci? And I was just like, no, come on.
So Gucci.
Yeah.
Watch your kid at a fucking Walmart outfit.
Yeah, who cares? They're gonna get it dirty and trash it. It's fine. I really don't care where kids' clothes comes from. Give me hand-me-downs, actually. Please give me free hand-me-downs. That's fine. So they finally go on this date. They are having a good time.
Then Jovi drops a bombshell.
Jovi drops the bombshell on date night, which, don't do that. Do it on an average day.
It's for good television.
It is for good television. So he says that he's going to have to leave earlier than expected for his 2-month trip. And that's kind of the extent of the news. But then Yara is very upset by this. She keeps saying, why did you bring me here? What am I supposed to do? I'm basically a single mother. Which is all very valid, but...
His work schedule's been the same tempo.
She knew his work schedule. She agreed to come. Nothing is unexpected. I mean, somewhat duration.
Her wording is like, why did you bring me in? Yes. Like, nobody forced you to get on that plane. You could have just been like, you know what? Not really feeling this.
I don't want to be alone that much.
Not really feeling this American dude. Not really feeling being alone. I'm good. I'm going to stay in my hometown.
Yeah, or they could have the discussion prior to, hey, I'm not comfortable with your work schedule. Maybe we can look for something else and then I can come over or something. But to blame it all on him.
Jovi could say, you know, I'm not willing to change my job.
And then boom.
And then say, well,
then
this isn't going to work out.
Have a good life.
Great. But just saying, like, wording it almost like you were forced to come to the U.S. I'm like,
yeah,
you didn't have to.
No, and so, and his job is not different. Yes, it's different in duration. It's harder, especially having a baby and things like this, but nothing was sprung on her.
Right, this isn't a new job.
No.
So
I don't really see what she wants from him, because to have this lifestyle that she wants and these nice things, he has to work a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know what she wants from him. I don't know what the solution is, because it would have to be something that pays just as much. And what is transferable to underwater robotics? What are you going to do on the outside? I say the outside like it's military, right. but otherwise.
Above water robotics.
Yes. And where is that? And there's just so many questions. I'm not saying he can't, but he's not willing to right now. So that's my whole rant, is what does she want?
It is a long time to be away from
She wants a Gucci outfit and underwater robotics pace for that Gucci outfit.
Their life is going to be pretty interesting, I think.
I think so, too, because she hates New Orleans, too.
I'm interested to see. She already handled him being away, essentially, I think, for, like, 2 to 4 months while she was
It was, like, four, I think. That's a long
time to be away during her pregnancy. That's almost half. That's
like But what's, I, in my opinion, what would be harder is being away for so long while she has a newborn.
With seeing where they're at during the trip, during the work trip, and when after, like, towards the end of that length of time, that's going to be fascinating to see. How it impacts your relationship.
I
would imagine his future work trips are essentially the same distance. So yeah. It's almost like you're kind of in a cadence from then on.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I absolutely hate this. I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
That'll be very interesting.
I can see some resentment growing because he's going to come back. The kid's going to be 2 months older. Yara's going to be doing it all on her own. Is there going to be resentment, or is there going to be like, oh, we're so happy to have you, let's continue our life? I don't know.
It'll be more of her calling the shots of how to hold the baby.
I mean, at that point, you've been
gone for 2 fucking months. I'm going to show you how to raise this kid.
Exactly. You're on our schedule. We do naps at this time. We feed at this time. Which, I mean, understandable. That's kind of the schedule you're on and how you've been raising her. So, I get it. And I think that connection of Yara always wanting to be with Mila is going to get worse. Which is fine. I mean, that's her first child. She's very protective. I think it's fine.
Right.
Mike and Natalie. Always, like, my least favorite to watch. Natalie's mannerisms, I say it all the time, are just too weird.
She's the alien.
She's an extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial, yeah.
Just reveal yourself. Mike will love it. And Trish will be more understanding.
I can't remember if I noticed it before, but Mike is he's a corny human
being. Isn't he way more this season than any season prior?
I don't know if he's getting comfortable letting his real personality out.
I think he's comfortable. He's
super corny.
He's pretty corny. I do get a little cringeworthy. I'm super cringe with Natalie, so both of them together at this point is just killing me to watch their sections. So we see them, and they're in the truck on the way to the airport. They're going to go to Oklahoma to see good old Trish.
Tulsa.
Natalie is super annoyed, I think, for having to go see Trish, which, understandable, she tried to call off your wedding, that sucks, but also it's the morning, and she is not a morning person, so all bad things.
That whole process is gonna, like, forever have not resentment, but there's always gonna be a tension.
There's always gonna be that tension, no matter what. You can't take that back.
You can't, and that's forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Man. Do you think the neighbor...
Imagine 20 years down the road, they're still together, and you're like, you fucking try to end my wedding.
Yeah.
I fucking hate you. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Do you think the neighbor, Tamara, should have let everyone know that the mom called to try to get the wedding, get her to object to the wedding, or is that a comment she should have kept to herself? Because no one would have known unless she said something.
I think...
I mean, Tamara's not at fault at all. Let me just clarify.
Somehow Mike would have known. And then,
oh, it was very clear that she was trying to talk Mike out of
Natalie
it.
Natalie would have questioned him, and then he would have told her. And if it comes out like, oh, Tamara, you knew and you didn't tell me.
Oh, that's true.
I think it's...
Especially since Tamara wasn't with Natalie so
Tamara
much.
Being a friend, it kind of keeps her in a good light.
I think it is good that she was honest.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, okay, if you kept this tidbit of information to yourself, would it kind of... be better for everyone. But I mean, Tamara didn't do anything wrong. She's speaking the truth.
I think somehow it would have just came out. And,
yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, even if it didn't.
Natalie would have felt like she really didn't have any friends. Or,
yeah. And even if it didn't, there's going to be something always that's going to blow up. They hate each other. Something. It's fine.
They're going to blow up during this Thanksgiving trip, which there might be.
Do you notice that Natalie likes to comment, like, the clothes of everyone she hates because she has nothing nice to say to you? Remember? She's like, Beau, you're so stylish. Trish. I love your shirt. So stylish. Okay. So when she hates you, and she'll compliment you about your clothes, because she has nothing else to say to you.
So they get to Tulsa. She says it's... I don't know if she said it was flat, but she said it was boring or something.
She says it looks like there's nothing, I think is what she said.
Right. And they get to...
Trisha's house. Piggies!
Yeah, I guess
Piggies she's everywhere.
Piggies. And... honestly, when Natalie asked her about it, I expected to hear some kind of
enthusiasm
or backstory. Because or
it's like Superman. It seems like it's her hobby.
Yeah.
So I was expecting something like, oh, like a really cool story, and this is why I got collecting the little pages.
Yeah, this is my first one, or like show her a couple.
And, cute. And then her response was just,
yeah,
yeah. I just
it's what
know,
I do.
Just what I do. You know, started collecting them.
Oh my god! No enthusiasm. They hate each other behind so much.
That. Maybe she was responding because she fucking hates Natalie, so yeah. She responded in that way.
Oh, 100%.
But I was watching the show. I was totally judging. I was like, "What's up, boys? Fucking piggies!" But honestly, everyone's got some weird shit. They
you can never judge in-laws or like older people's houses. Right. They have lived a lifetime. They know what they like.
I'm sure and... people came home. They'd be like, "Why does this fucking dude have all these Gundam figures? Like, it's so stupid."
Yeah.
Like,
why are there action figures everywhere? Yeah.
Why are there action figures? Or why does this person have so many fucking shoes?
Why are? It's like oh yeah.
It's like anything. Anything we
collect. For our listeners, he's a former sneakerhead, so there are sneakers everywhere. Like, every closet has sneakers. So, just a heads up. Yeah, they'd want to know why you have sneakers everywhere, why you have, like, anime Gundam stuff, and also why you have no decorative pieces or pictures. Why are all of your walls just plain?
At Mike's mom's house, it's like, I was surprised. I thought, oh, this is cool. She has like a little special area for her piggies.
No, piggies everywhere. Oh my God. But then guest room.
Like, guest room.
Guest room, living room, dining room. Piggies everywhere. Dear. There has to be a backstory, but she doesn't give a shit about Natalie. So it wasn't like she was going to go into like, well, this is the first one and it means this to me. Like, no, that's not going to happen.
So they have a little birthday cake. I guess Mike and his mom have a very similar birthday. They bring out, like, the biggest cake for three people. I was like, what the fuck?
Hey, I love leftover cake. It's okay. Natalie couldn't even eat the cake. Natalie, just eat the fucking cake.
Yeah, did she even try to eat the
cake? She was just like, no. She's Natalie, just eat the fucking cake.
See what I mean? It's, like, just immature, bro.
That's the thing. Okay, with food, no matter what someone preps for you, for your arrival, brings it to you from their house, you have to fucking eat it.
Right.
If they're just bringing it over and like they're like, all right, for you to have later, that okay, you can kind of you can taste it, you can be like, this isn't for me, whatever. But for example, I went somewhere very rural and someone killed a goat for my arrival and made intestine soup. I fucking hate intestine, but you know what? You fucking choke that down because they killed an animal for you, and it's different obviously with a cake, but just do it. Just do it.
This Thanksgiving dinner is going to be so fucking lit.
Oh my god, that brings me to what Natalie said in the truck. Oh, it must be made by the natives.
Oh,
to those that are native.
She's being way too intense.
That's an
like,
asshole.
That's like move. Tamale is going to be made by, you know, my Mexican compadre.
Which I mean, like, yeah, they're fuego when they are, but like all the other damn. Peoples, that's
maybe
fine.
Maybe if I'm trying to sell it as like authentic fucking Mexican tamale, but yeah. Damn, we're just trying to make... recreate
just yeah exactly I mean everything I cook I take from other cultures. Granted, I'm not making a business out of it or anything, so I feel like it's okay, but
she was real
she had real strong feelings on this. Like, she was not gonna make this with Mike and Trish, but think about how nice and bonding that would be if they could make something together of her culture.
Just keeping the walls up.
Hell yeah,
keeping the walls up.
Also, I'm sure you haven't seen this. Natalie has cooking videos on YouTube.
Oh, you showed me one.
They're so cringeworthy. I could only watch like that one. But
it's almost like, I made this dish, I'll kill you.
Yeah, look at my boobs. I am sexy. Yeah, her need to be overly sexy during these cooking videos is the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Like, the gamers to streaming with boobs just out.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna have a Twitch channel and I'm just gonna wear a bra and I'm gonna make so much money.
In my head, I always play.
Like, I'm not good at video games.
I'm a super talented gamer, but look at my tits.
Yeah, I'm not even that great, but. Tits. That's gonna be my investment.
Do what you gotta do.
So here's my issue. This is where this kind of ties in. So she has these cooking YouTube videos. She cooks other cultures' food. Mm. She is a native. So at one point, she was wearing almost like an Asian shirt. It was like
a top.
It was a Mongolian top with chopsticks in her hair, making Japanese sushi. What the fuck is that?
Very hypocritical.
Yeah, and one point she was making her favorite Italian pasta. Like, shut the fuck up. I can't stand it. Now I'm starting to do my clap thing. I'm so riled up. Yeah, it was just so unnecessary. She's just being an asshole to be an asshole.
Yeah, pretty much. And essentially saying, don't fucking talk to me while I cook this or something.
Yeah, I do. It can only be made by the people.
Good stuff.
Also, Mike Smong brings up working in the possibility of, oh, have you thought of being a translator? Do you remember how weird Natalie's response was?
It was like, no, because I only have one life to live and I want to do what I want to do. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she
just said, nah, I'm not
It's
really
not for
that.
Me. You know, I'm looking, I have other goals. What? Like,
okay.
Why would anyone be nice to you if you're just being a dick?
Her mom fucking hates her.
Mike's mom
fucking hates her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really blame her at this point. They're both just assholes to each other.
Oh, dear God.
Awful. Oh, on the next time on, we see Trish take Mike and Natalie to a butcher shop. And Natalie just cannot handle it. I get being super strongly... Did she say she's vegan? I swear she said vegan, but she eats, like, scallop and eggs and stuff, so maybe she's just confused.
Vegetarian.
Sure, let's say vegetarian. She eats fish and scallops, and I just can't get over it. Anyway, I don't see why she's running out of there. Like, she's been to grocery stores, she's been to places that have meat and restaurants, and she's seen Mike eat a steak in front of her. Granted, she was pissed that he did that, but I don't know. Again, the whole running out and making a scene, like, why can't you be like, oh, this makes me uncomfortable, I'm gonna go wait outside.
That's not good television.
It's not, and it's too mature of a conversation.
Yeah, it's too mature to say, hey, I'm not really comfortable going to the butcher shop, I'm just gonna chill.
Yeah. No. No, we have to gag and run out. Whatever. I'm so over them. Okay, our last couple, Brandon and Julia, and this got spicy. They're going to go, they went to a brewery to meet up with Melanie and her boyfriend, which is Brandon's old high school friend.
Dude, and these people, why is Julia's bitching from the get-go?
The get-go. She was pissed that she had to be there. She's mad that...
She's like, oh, they don't serve cocktails here.
Yeah, like, who cares? Okay. Have a cider. They're super sweet. It'll be fine.
It's fine.
I bet there's a wine that you can have.
There's, like, no positive outlook to these people, I swear.
No, Julia hates everything. She hates being there. It's extreme. Like, this is a level of jealousy that's so... ridiculous. This girl's like, honestly, not trying to get in Brandon's pants.
She was
boyfriend of 5 years.
Jealous of him having a girlfriend.
Yeah, a friend that's a girl.
I think more than likely anyone that would take Brandon away from her, I feel like she would sort of dislike that.
Yeah,
person.
I agree. Right. So I think Melanie initially was friendly, and
I think she was curious about her.
Yeah, I think she was. It was just like a normal meeting, but. I think after she picked up Julia's energy, she was like, fuck it, I'm going to just be an asshole. And then she went too far.
And then she started asking, like, all the personal questions.
She went too far.
You know, doing the whole, you know, if you're here for a green card or something like that, you know, why do us Americans always go, like, you're just here for a green card?
Yeah, I don't know why it's...
We have a bad habit.
Also, why do you care? Like, it's fine. You know, it's your friend's decision.
Even if I was, I wouldn't tell you.
Exactly, which is a good point. Like, why would she just make that known?
Honestly, I think Julia was just being a dick, so she was like, I don't give a fuck, I'm going in, I'm just going to make her night, you know, uncomfortable.
Yeah, just be a dick. She went too far, but also, I mean, at that point, she doesn't give a shit. She's like, she's doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the first meeting with a friend. You know, you think you'd have like just a nice conversation, it's casual, you'd ask them about, also, the whole Julia, she's like, you know, I don't care about your past. I'm like, yeah, but don't you want to know how...
I mean,
the love of your life, you know, grew up and
exactly
things they did, activities.
I think it's nice to be friendly with your partner's friends. Like, you don't have to be best friends with them. You don't have to hang out all the time. But when there's a group setting, I think it is really nice to have enough of a relationship to hold a basic conversation.
They can help you gauge, you know, what your partner's into. That maybe your partner's shy and doesn't really talk about.
Or it, like, has never came up before.
Right, maybe just never come up in that setting because they're, just don't say, hey, me and my friends used to, like, go swim in this lake and I love swimming in lakes. But that friend could recall that memory.
But remember,
like, oh, that's really cool.
She doesn't care about anything that happened in his life prior to her. Which is weird as fuck. I always want to know people's past and their stories, and I'm super interested in how they met. And
yeah, like everyone has a story, and it's super interesting. And why are you discounting like his whole past? Yes, he's with you now, but yes, he did have a life before.
Yeah,
and maybe some of it was pretty cool, and you might want to hear about that. Yeah. God, the storing out was so
normal.
It's more immature and just so. Like, sit the fuck down.
I hate that beer and chill. She's 27 years old and she acts like she's 16.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I mean, it is just weird. Like, if you're going to jump up and storm out, like, you're...
Well, like, you could verbally just put Melanie in her place. Storming out's weird.
You could maybe just say, I don't feel like talking about that. And, like,
Just be like, that's personal, not something I'm going to talk to you about.
Or something.
Yeah. It was just, you can be sassy verbally. You don't like, just goes, don't storm out. It makes you look dumb.
Right into sitting in the car. I was like, essentially saying, oh, we're leaving.
Yeah.
That's a little bit controlling. Oh, and then her friend gave us good insight of his previous girlfriends.
Did I forget that? Oh, yeah.
All models of Julia.
Yeah, they're always brunettes, long hair, petite. See,
probably likes to be put in his place. From his partner.
He just seems like an asshole and doesn't really care about any of the girls he's with. Yeah. He does what he wants to do. It is, Melanie, this is interesting. Tell me what you think about this. At one point, she tells Brandon, you should care about what your friends think. When it comes to relationships, I don't necessarily, I think it, to a degree.
I think because your friends are looking from the outside in, they can probably spot an unhealthy relationship more than you can because you're in that
moment. Maybe privately have that conversation, but to publicly say, like, you should care and this is what I think, I don't think that's appropriate. And that's kind of where it started to go downhill. Sure. Isn't it weird that they're all, like, 27, 28, and they look like they're 12?
Melanie's boyfriend, man, he got that strong jaw.
Oh, man. My God. He's going to be a model after
my
this.
My man's in shape. Got that man bum going. Chilling.
What did Julia say about, she's like, I'm married. And the friend was like, but I've been with him for 5 years. Or what was that conversation?
I think it's because she was asking,
like, why they rushed in?
Right, the rushing, and don't you think you'll learn things about each other? She was just making the connection of, you know, my boyfriend and I have been together for 5 years and I'm still learning stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, she's probably more alluding to, like, you know, what if you don't like something about someone?
What if there's deal breakers?
Right. She's probably alluding to, like, whole rushing and what that could lead to.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know. I think the whole thing was shitty. I think Julia's attitude and very poor communication skills really came out and just totally set the tone for the meeting. I think Melanie took it too far in response to that.
Well, we haven't seen her before getting flustered. Did she just bounce? Is that like a recurring?
It's okay. So do you remember last season, Brandon and his parents kind of talked about how she can be a diva and how she gets so angry. And I think part of that was just like up and leaving. And then we never saw it last season. And this was when we were all Team Julia. And we were like, she's a sweetheart. You know, how could you say that about her? And then the tell-all happened. And we saw Julia in another light. And then now this season, we're kind of touching on her anger and her ability to flip and her jealousy. So they did talk about it previously. We just didn't see it.
It was super immature. Their next time is going to be next episode. It'll be pretty interesting to see, like, post-conflict. And
it will
see
be
what kind of conversation they have, if they even have one.
They probably won't.
Oh, you know, that was pretty immature of you to do in front of my friends.
It's not like she's going to have a realization, though, of like, yeah, that wasn't. No, she's going to be like, fuck you. You're with me. And that's it. On the next time on, she gets mail from immigration, but there wasn't really much detail on what it was. Maybe it's the form that they're missing, and they just need to submit it, and we're making it very dramatic.
They'll probably just say she was approved for her visa or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of it for this episode, and we already covered all the next time on for each couple.
You excited for next one?
I am excited. I look forward to it. I'm just stressed out by Natalie and Mike. So I think it's going to be super weird with them in Oklahoma. Do they even make it to... I don't even think they make it to Thanksgiving. Because do you remember on a preview of the entire season, one of it is Natalie storming out into a car and Trish saying, get her the fuck out of here, or something like this. Send her back to fucking Ukraine.
Ooh.
So that's probably Thanksgiving Day. So I don't see this going well or ending well. They're probably going to end up flying back separately. I hope this season, for them at least, that we find out what the final straw is in their relationship. Because we're never going to find out why Mike called off the wedding, or what made him finally say yes to the wedding. So I want to know if they show more details of the downfall of their relationship.
I'm just guessing it was something with, like, either his mom talking to him, or him having cold feet.
Oh, for the wedding?
For the wedding.
Yeah. I agree.
We'll see, and yeah, here's to next week. Should be fun.
Thank you all for listening. Oh, just a quick side note, we did end up watching the Married at First Sight finale. Our guesses were pretty spot on. Paige almost gave me a heart attack when she was entertaining Chris.
Oh, killed Chris was me. Almost trying to talk for her.
Yep.
That was scary.
Yeah, he's nothing but red flags. Red flags hitting me in the face. Stop it, Paige.
My God, Paige, what are you doing? That was brutal, but
kills
at the
me.
End she said no, which was awesome.
But then I heard that they were still on and off. So, Paige, just fully cut this man out of your life. There's no good quality about him. I really want her to be, like, on next season or something. Just please get a redo.
One of the main ones I was wrong about was Ryan.
Oh, yeah. They stayed together. They both said yes. They both said they were very happy and compatible together.
Yeah, what's the rumor? She's pregnant?
That was... Okay. I might have made up that rumor because on the reunion, they were like, we have news. And I was like, is she pregnant? Or did they, like, buy a house together? Or basically, I just want to know if they're doing it now. Are they finally doing it?
It's probably like, we did it or something.
Maybe that's it. And then we can all be like, yay, now your relationship's mostly okay, probably. So they're together. Virginia and what's the pilot's name? Eric. They both said yes. Which, honestly, I thought she was going to say no, but then he got down and proposed with the pink rubber band. Oh, and so then yeah. I think she had to say yes, but it almost seemed like she might have said no.
I mean, if they're still together, then I'm
sure. I don't know where anyone stands right now.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but at the time...
Okay, cool.
Who's the last couple?
Champagne
Vinny. Oh, okay, so Champagne Vinny and Brianna. I love that he proposed with a cheesecake. Super cool. Cute. And then Haley.
Haley and old boy.
Haley's saying that she needs to stop saying that she really tried and gave it her all. I'm so over that. She was out from the day after they had sex. On the honeymoon, inviting everyone out to hang out with you except your husband.
Oof, brutal.
He should have divorced her right there. What's the point? Anyway. Yep.
Overall, though, hey, that season, good season.
It bothered me. I wish that the experts were more involved.
Yep, for sure. There's more previous seasons that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, but my God. There is Armani and them. Amani, not Armani, excuse me. And Woody, amazing couple.
Yeah.
His best friend and his girl.
I really enjoyed that season.
That was a great season.
That was last season, right?
Was it?
I think so.
Maybe. Because then you also had the doctor girl. Why am I spacing on her? She was so quirky.
Bennett and Amelia.
Yeah, Bennett and Amelia. They were amazing. Like, it was such a good season.
Oh, my God, yeah, it was really good.
We should rewatch it. It was so good. Oh, you know what would be so fun to do an episode about, or a couple episodes about? Terrace House.
Oh, fuck.
It's so good. Okay, anyone that doesn't mind subtitles, but loves kind of, like, reality TV, check out Terrace House, especially Boys and Girls in the City seasons. This one, the most recent season, I wouldn't watch.
A little intro to the show. What is the show? What is Terrace House?
Okay,
why should I watch it?
Terrace House is a Japanese reality TV show. That's kind of where I was alluding to. If you don't mind subtitles, it is in Japanese, but there's English subtitles. It is on Netflix. And it is putting, like, 6-7 individuals in a house together. Depending on the season, it's either directly in Tokyo or kind of in more rural forest of Japan. And it's just
more small town Japan.
Yeah, but it's not in the city.
Right.
And it's just seeing if these people are compatible together, kind of just following them around in their regular lives, if some people end up dating, if they end up together or not together. And
that's interesting about this show. There's no agenda for you to date. It's almost
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And there's people that dated other people, like outside of the house. So it's great. It's so good. It's so cool to see how people communicate in friendships, relationships, in roommate situations so differently in other cultures versus ours. And even one of the most, and I'm doing quotey fingers, cat fights, one of the most worst arguments I've seen on...
They're like so respected.
Yes. So one of the worst arguments I've seen on the show was still... so tame in comparison to, like, what would probably come to blows here in our reality TV. Mean, like,
boring television tame. It was
just a different communication style.
But it's fascinating to watch.
It is.
And it removes a lot of the...
And it's not set up. It feels very genuine.
The setups or pre-made shots or situations. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, yes, there are situations where
there's always multiple people in a scene. Yeah, it is not this one person per shot bullshit.
There's times when, like, the whole... a group is maybe having dinner together or doing some event together. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it does feel very natural. And it was a breath of fresh air for us watching the show.
And you really do root for a lot of people, both in their professional life and kind of romantically. I think Arman that season, he's probably our favorite character from all seasons.
I think so. He was just, he's there to have a good time and
yeah, he be happy. Just enjoy people. And you root for him to find love so badly. It's so good.
Anyway, yeah, if you still have a little bit of bench time or shows to watch, you know, you got a little bit of open calendar time.
Highly recommend Terrace House, especially the first season of Boys and Girls in the City. There's a recent 2020 season of Boys and Girls in the City, but production got shut down, so you really only get a few episodes. The people are great that are on it, though, if you would still like to check that out. But I would start with the other city one, just because it's a full season. Okay, guys. Well, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Apologies again for no episode last week, but we're very excited to be able to kind of get back into it and really enjoy it. So take care. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.